As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for. Oh, someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Right now, this week, oh my goodness, my favorite song. No matter what, he's faithful and true. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer, he is faithful and true. I am so thankful for my family, my daughter and my granddaughter, and Mark. They're here to surprise me. God bless you. I don't have good eyesight, but it looks like somebody's in back of them that I know. Roger. Oh, Yvonne, from our prayer. Hi, Yvonne. And from our prayer group, we have Cliff. It's so good to see you, Cliff. Oh, my goodness, God is good. Oh. When Sister Harvey, God bless her, when she called me, We were having a meeting. No, she didn't call me. We had a meeting. I'm on the education committee. So she said, Sister Walker, I only have one thing to discuss, and that you give them the sermon. I said, what? I never did that before. And I'm too old. No. She said, you know what? She said a whole lot of other stuff. But I said, you know what? I don't know what to do. So she said, well, I chose you because you taught before. And I want you to teach. Just teach just like you usually do. So if I teach, then that means y'all the classroom. So get your Bibles out. And we're going to have a time. I don't think it'll be too long, but I ask God in a special way to let me only say what he wants me to say and not to say what he doesn't want me to say. Because you know what? I got, after this week, I have a great respect for pastors and elders, what they have to go through to prepare a sermon. But I tell you one thing, it'll bring you in closer relationship to God. See, he does everything. I want to show you how, yeah, I am nervous, but, and there were so many times I said, I need to call Sister Harvey. Tell her I can't do this. But God would, when I was on my knees in the morning, he would start talking to me and say, this is what I want you to say. But as recent as yesterday, I still was like, I had heard some awful news. And I was sad. And I couldn't get myself out of that depression. My family, I believe, they thought I was, you know, down because of, do you have it? They kept saying, you got everything together? And yeah. But I still didn't like the way I felt. So after I studied, I start doing something I put off for a long time. I don't know how many of you all don't like dusting, but I don't like dusting, because especially when you got a whole lot of things to take down, and then you got to dust that, and it was a mess. But I decided I would dust, and I even dust a bag that I had for years, and this fell out of it. It was a card from my sister who died 6 years ago. And I said, what in the world is this? But this is what it says. I believe in you, and I am here to help you in any way I can. Now, I know she couldn't do that because she knows nothing. Mm-hmm. But I believe God gave me this. I don't promise it will be easy, but I know you can do it. Believe in yourself. And then she says, it is going to be okay. In Jesus' name, press on.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, God talks to you in so many different kinds of ways.
That's right.
Ooh, and after that, I can't say
anything
about I can't do it. Only God
can. Really? So, that's why you kind of go to the bottom, not a fish, not getting married.
Oh, mute your, yes, mute your phones and things, please. Okay, so.
We can't hear.
Can't hear.
We still can't hear.
Now we can hear you.
Let me tell you something. The enemy did so much foolishness this week. I finally just had to say, you know what? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So we have nothing to fear unless we forget what God has done for us in the past. They can hear now. Okay. So who is God and what is he to us? A mighty God, kind and compassionate God, God of peace. Amen. A God who heals, the all-wise God who knows everything. He is a shelter in the time of storm, a strong tower, and the righteous, those who are covered with God's righteousness, they run into that shelter, that tower, and they are safe. But most of all, God is the God of love. After hearing what Brother Harvey said, I said, well, Lord, that's our lesson for today. What he said about the public school and what he said about the church school is exactly what it's about. So we're going to go into it a little deeper. We are talking today about true education. We have to show you what false education means first so that you can really appreciate true education. So here we are. Let's go back to Psalms 1. And we're going to walk through these four verses. The result of what a child or an adult character will be if he receives true education. Just want to pray for a minute. Dear Father in heaven, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Hide me behind your cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know why your mouth gets dry when you start to talk. Okay. This is what a child of God does. He walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When he does that, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, in order for a tree by the rivers of water to survive, he has to have them deep roots. Our roots have to be deep in God. And we want our children to have those deep roots. No matter what comes by, he'll have those deep roots. And that tree that has the deep roots by that river brings forth fruit in his season. You know, we look at our children and say, oh, Lord have mercy, what am I going to do with them? Just wait. He'll bring forth them fruits. Just keep teaching him at the right time. We might not even see it. We might be resting in our graves, but they'll come forth. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. And that's a blessing. I have seen that happen. I was working in a church school, minding my business, trying to do the best I could. And what happened? The principal left. And they asked me to be a principal. I said, what? I don't even have the credentials to do that. But that's what they had me do. but I had to still teach, you know. Like Brother Harvey said, sometimes you want to just do your own work. But usually in the church school, you're going to do two or three other things as well. But you know what? God blesses. He really will bless you no matter what. And the children love you. That's a plus. So the fourth verse says, we don't want our children to be like what? What does it say? I told you you're a class. Now, come on. He said, but the ungodly will be like the chaff. Anybody know what chaff is? From the wheat. And I love corn. So in another version, it said like the husk. You know that?
Yeah.
Husk that's on. And when it dries off, it just flies everywhere. As soon as a wind hits it, we don't want our children to be like that. Just flying here and flying there and all that. So it says they won't be like the chaff or the husk of corn or the wheat that the wind driveth away. There were other verses that many parents cling to. So I want somebody to find Isaiah 54, 13. I want another person to find, I hope you brought your Bibles, because they don't have the Bibles in the seat anymore because of COVID. So I want another person to find Isaiah 49, 25, and Luke 18, 16. And if you have to, you can find Proverbs 22, 6, but we're going to say that one together, all of us. Okay? So, who has Isaiah 54, 13? Yes, Brother Cliff?
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Read, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful news? And those of you who do not have children or your grandparents or whatever, you still can claim that promise for those children that you love. So that's one verse I could have used. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 49, 25. Who has that? Yes. Oh, I love the way these students are just standing up doing this. Praise God. A little technical difficulty. It'll be okay.
Isaiah 49, verse 25 says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children.
Amen. I think about Samuel's mother, Hannah, when she said, I don't wish for him to be great. I don't wish for him to be a king or anything like that. But what I do wish is that he will be a man of God. That was her prayer. And Luke 18, 16. Yes.
And the Bible says in Luke 18, 16, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
Amen. God never turns away his children. In fact, he wants you to bring them to him. And our last verse, I didn't assign that to anybody. We're going to say it together. Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, He will not depart from it. Sometimes we look at our children and we say, I thought you said, Lord, that they wouldn't depart from it. But don't you worry about that. Your job is not even to keep telling them, you need to do this and you need to do that. Don't do that. Instead, pray. Because the servant of God said that when you pray, Lord, impress them with what you have impressed me with and what I've told them already. Don't tell them anymore. Just pray and watch God do his work. For some, it might not be easy, but he will do what he promised. And so these are the verses that parents and grandparents and people who love children and adult children, these are the verses that come to their mind. The last one is train up a child in the way he should go. True education starts in the home. Don't send your child to church school saying, they got to teach them what to do right. Nope. It's an extenuation of home training. Train your child at home first, and then send them to the church school. Some people even have to send their children to public school because there's no church school around and they don't feel comfortable in teaching homeschool. But if you instill in them what God wants you to let them know, many of them will come out okay. Because I didn't go to church school during elementary school. And I didn't go during high school because I didn't want to leave my mom. My sister went to Pine Forge. I wouldn't go. That's too far away from my mom. I'm not going. But we had morning worship. And I saw my mother cry many times for my soul and my brother's soul and my sister's soul. And at night, my father gathered us around the dining room table because we had to have a Bible. And he didn't know, what to study from, but we studied from the adult Sabbath school lesson. Took it day by day. And that's rooted in me and grounded me in what I needed to know, I believe. At least it gave us a chance to know Jesus. So true education begins where? In the home. In the home. If you don't begin it in the home, don't expect that they're going to completely get it in the church school. And if you can't, if there's no church school around you, then they have it in their hearts. I had a friend, actually it was my daughter's friend first. She had to go to, she went to a school and she first went to a church school, Christian school, but then she was going to be a doctor, so she had to go to Harvard. She didn't have to, but that's where she went to Harvard to be a doctor. And some of the things she told us that they taught, she would always say, you got to know the Lord for yourself. Keep your eyes fixed on him. They know, and they know about us. They know about Seventh-day Adventists in Harvard and in the other Ivy League school. I can't remember what the name of it is. Yale, yes. Her husband went to Yale. But they know about us. And they try to discourage them from understanding Sister White's writings. They said people who have mental problems or some type of other problems in their life. I don't remember the name. but they write a lot. In fact, they write volumes of books. An example they gave was Sister White, Ellen G. White. And Kiva said, what? How do they know her? And when they teach everything else. So here we are. I have up here, we're going to deal with the different types of education. Let's deal with false education first. On the board you see it says, it relies on the opinion of men. Now, how did false education begin in the first place? I want to read you something. And this is Councils on Education. And it said, the mastermind in the confederacy of evil, that means Satan, is ever working to keep out of sight the words of God and to bring into full view the opinion of men. He means that we shall not hear the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Keep that in mind. That's his purpose. That we not hear what God wants us to know, what God wants us to really understand. And so he has taught people false education or false teachings. And this is where we have our false education. I'm going to do this first because I want to get through this. I love what true education is really balanced. Guys have to turn it around for us when we get to that. But false education relies on the opinion of men. The Bible, Pledge Allegiance to the Flag, and all those things used to be in those schools that have false education. Many moons ago, when I was in school, in elementary school, they read a scripture. Yep, from the Bible. Read a scripture. And then we said the Pledge Allegiance to the Flag. And then we were saying, my country, 'tis of thee. They took away the Bible. They even say, you can participate if you want, or you don't have to, because some lady, I don't remember her name, said that the Pledge of Allegiance is not right because it mentions God. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which it stands, one nation under, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Took it out. Can't say it anymore. If you want to say it to yourself. But what they do is they'll tell you all the announcements, what they're going to do in school, any thing that they saw somebody doing that they shouldn't do, they might give you a little lecture on that. But the Bible, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, all gone. So, and they rely on the opinion of men. So what the next one is, they have the philosophy of speculation and science. God is not acknowledged at all. You know, the enemy is so unfair. He doesn't play fair. He does what he wants to do and causes people not to do what God wants them to do. So they teach in science, they teach evolution, and they teach the Big Bang Theory, and but they're not allowed to teach creation. Is that fair? I'm always saying, why in the world? When I was teaching in public school, sometimes I get it in though. If they find out that you do that, depending on what principle you have, you're fired. One day, one of the students, when I was teaching in the public school, said, "Miss Walker, do you have any children?" I said, "Yes, I have a daughter." She said, "I bet you she goes to church school, doesn't she?" I said, "Yeah, she does." She said, "I wish that was me." Isn't that, you know, children who have to be exposed to false education, not because they want to be, but because they have to. So you never know who's there. There was a girl and a boy asked me questions. And so I said, "Well, let's have Bible study." Knew I wasn't supposed to, but I did it anyway. And it was so interesting, but a stop came to it, you know. But whenever you can say something or do something, if you happen to be in a false education surrounding, say it. Because it does something to their mind and they never forget it. Okay, so that's one thing. They teach the Big Bang and they also teach evolution. One day I was, like Brother Henry said, about the public school, they are constantly not giving the true facts or something like that, he said. And I was in the kitchen one day and my granddaughter was on the Zoom for her class. And I heard her science teacher said, "How many of you believe in aliens?" And I was like, "Oh Lord, they keep me sitting in this kitchen and mind my business." And of course, Kiana didn't answer. She doesn't believe in that. But thank God for her mother who sits by her and would explain to her what they're talking about, what they're trying to say, but what we believe and what we know. Thank God. We have to be so careful. And like Brother Harvey said, the public schools have places for special needs. It's great. We got to work on special needs in our schools because it's not fair. It's not fair that they should have to go in order to get an education, go to the public schools. They should be able to be taught of God just like anybody else. Amen. So let's go on. I don't want to go over the time. The books contain infidelity. Let me read you what the spirit of prophecy says about that. The books that they use. Many of the books that are used in the public school, this is from Councils on Education, are myths, contain myths and fairy tales. Now you might say, what's wrong with fairy tales? I like fairy tales. This is what's wrong with them. In the education of children and youth, fairy tales and myths and fictitious stories are now given a large place. Books of this character are used in the schools and they are to be found in many homes. Little Red Riding Hood, the big bad wolf, the three little pigs, all those. How can Christian parents permit their children to use books so filled with falsehood? When the children ask for the meaning of stories so contrary to the teaching of their parents, the answer is that the stories are not true. But this does not do away with the evil results of their use. The ideas presented to these books, in these books, mislead the children. They impart false views of life, and they beget a foster a desire for the unreal. The widespread use of these books at this time is one of the cunning devices of Satan. And you wonder, how? Because when I was taking care of my grandchildren and I had some other students in the daycare I had, I would let them look at Sesame Street and some other Between the Lions, because I said, oh, that's teaching phonics. That's good, they'll know this. And sometimes my daughter would say, Mommy, some of that stuff, they don't need to be looking at. And I'm like, this is little kid stuff. What are you talking about? But as I looked at it, it wasn't true. Stuff that wasn't true, but it goes into their little minds and penetrates. And guess what it causes them to become? Skeptics. Now, what's a skeptic? A person who doesn't know whether there is truly a God or not. They become either atheists or agnostics. So we don't want that for our children. We want them to believe in the true God and the true creation, and that we did not come from monkeys, but we were created by the hands of God, and he had a way to cause us to grow in his character. So that takes care of the books that contain infidelity. Unholy relations. Brother Harvey mentioned that. What did he mention about? What was the unholy relations that's in there? That's in a false education place? Yes. Alternative lifestyles. And if you disagree with it, something's wrong with you. What do they call that? Politically right? Yes. So, and not only that, they're treated different if a homosexual person attacks or tries to lure you to him. He's not treated as a person who might try to rape you, which I don't see any difference in the two, but they're treated different. So these are things that are in false education, unholy relationships. Even when you find, and I'm not saying that it's not in some church schools, but it's handled. And that's using language that isn't Christian. Language that God doesn't want us to use. Certain words that shouldn't be said if you're a Christian. Children say, I know when I worked in the public school, some children would be cursing up a storm. And I'd be like, would you watch your mouth? And they didn't know what I was talking about. What? What'd I say? What was wrong? Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they didn't know? In the home. And the next day I saw a parent. She was talking to the child in this parking lot. She wanted him to hurry up. And she said, get your self on over here. And it was nothing. Child came on over in the home. They don't know. Bless their hearts, they don't know. You can't even get mad at them, especially when they don't know. So this is what happens in the home, I mean, in the education place where there is no God, the God of heaven there. And another reason why they use these books is they say, they give you wise thoughts. Wise thoughts like Confucius says, or some other real smart person says. But I want to interject right here. There are a whole lot of smart things said in the Bible. And they don't want to acknowledge that. For instance, Psalms 4:7 says, if you want to turn there with me, Proverbs 4:7. It says, wisdom is the principle of things. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. There was a teacher in Pine Forge. I wasn't a student. My daughter was a student. I can't think of what her name was. Remember her name? She always would be quoting from Proverbs. The kids would come back and say, you know what she said today? She said, don't be like driven cattle. I've been trying to find that in Proverbs, but it's there. Don't be like driven cattle. Think for yourself. And that's going to come up a little later on. Another one in Proverbs, you can bring it back to them. Another wise saying was, a wise man hears his father's instructions, but a foolish one will not listen or hear to what he says. Proverbs 17:22. This is one that I use many times. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a weary spirit, a broken spirit, dries up the bones. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Boy, I got some good students in here. I hear you. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. 100%. God is good, isn't he? He gives us the wise words that people feel like you need to have. But they won't use the Bible. I think some of them know, sneak it in and don't tell it that it is from the Bible. I do. I really do. So now that's all I'm going to say on false education. If I can get somebody to turn it around. On the other side is what true education is. In book education, page 16, it says, and I'm gonna read that while he's turning it around. It says, love is the basis of creation. Love is the basis of redemption. It also is the basis of true education. I never thought of it quite that way, but it is. God loves his children, whether they're little or adults. He loves them, and he wants them to have true education. This is made plain in the law that God has given as the guide to life. Many times people call the law or the commandments the words of love for life. The first great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all your might and with all your soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. So that's the beginning of education. So what's in true education? Honor. It honors God. By practical experiences in everyday life, it's taught in the church schools. What do they do? How do they teach this in the church schools? The very first thing that is done with the children is devotion. When I was teaching, I would do the devotion. The next lesson that we're supposed to teach is the Bible. Some days I would bring both of them together, the devotion and the Bible. The Bible, the devotions before classroom. And I want to just say, not only is it good for the children to have the devotions. There was a school, Spencerville. Anybody ever heard of Spencerville? What kind of school they have now? State of the art. Elementary school on one side, high school on the other side, gym, cafeteria. Do you know one time in the 60s they were about to close? And they didn't want to close. Doesn't matter how much money you have. If it's something going on, gotta close it. I don't care what you think. So they said, we don't want it to close. Let's get a new principal. And they bought this principal, and I used to know his name when I was taught it in school, but I forgot his name now. And so they brought this principal in. And the first day of school, he watched the teachers come into school. Some were rushing, some had got there early, and they went right to their classroom. They prepared their classroom, and they were ready to be good teachers that day and teach the children whatever, math, science, reading, phonics, whatever. They were ready. He made an announcement, and he said, I want all the teachers to come to my office after school. And he told them, you know, you all are good teachers. You prepare your classroom. You're ready to go with them. He said, that's good. But you did it on your own. Every day, you need to come 15 minutes early. And we're going to have devotion in the library so that we will start with God. Because he's the one who's to give you the information. He's the one who will prepare those children's minds to accept what you're telling them. He's the one who will give you words to say. He's the one, not you. So that's what they had to do. And if they didn't come, he would go to them and ask them, can I pray with you before you start your class? It was amazing. Now look at the school. Isn't it amazing? They went from almost closing the school to having the state of art. People take their kids from other schools and send them to that school. We pray that the teachers are the state of art teachers as well, because that's what's important. But look what God did for them when they put him first. Honoring God. I'm going to go on to Bible classes. Now, the children, and I meant to bring a book. I started to call Kim to ask her to bring it one. But we had good reading books back in my day when I first started teaching church school. Because it taught, the first one for kindergarten students were about how God created the earth, but it told it in a story, and it was just interesting. I enjoyed it myself. And they had a phonics lesson to go along with it so that they learned phonics and everything. But then someone said, this is good, but we need to use My Little Friends. You know that series? I hope everybody has that in their home for their grandchildren or children. They, for the lower class, they use My Little Friends. For the upper class, they use Bible Stories. I can't think of who wrote it right now. Max, yes. And that's the reading book in the public, in the church schools now, in the Seventh-day Adventist church school. And it was amazing. At first I said, why are they changing it? I love the other books. But they have a, the textbook, and they also have a paper. They don't have a notebook or a another book that goes along for them to do the lessons, but they have papers that the teacher can ask them questions, and they have to do these questions on the readings that they do. Wonderful reading books. The science books are based on the facts in the Bible about creation. And they learn everything about pollination. They learn about the animals hibernating, everything they need to know. So they might not have a nice gym, but they have a parking lot to play in. And we have different other toys, but things for them to play with. But most of all, they have the books that we are supposed to have. Students are taught to be thinkers. When you teach children the truth and they hear something that's false, they start thinking, that's not what I learned. So it's important to teach children to be thinkers. They also are taught the facts of duty. Now that one is important. And that's why the title of this talk is They Enter to Learn and They Depart to Serve. I do want to back up for a minute that book knowledge is good, but working with your hands is very important in true education. At Oakwood, when I was there, we had a farm with lots of cows that sometime would escape and would be in our front door at the dorms. But we had cows. We had a bakery and I don't want to say cleaners, but a laundry, where even people, the hospitals and places like that would bring their laundry to be cleaned. And guess who worked there? Students. And if you didn't work in one of those places, they didn't care what you were taking, religion, education, whatever. You were going to work in one of those places. Some even, one of my friends, he's a doctor now, Dr. Cartwright. And he was one of the main people, and he stayed there the whole 4 years on the farm with the cows, because that's what he liked to do. And his mother and father, they were migrant farmers. They would come from Florida in the summertime and work on the farms in New Jersey. So our schools have a work program, because children learn and they become strong to duty in working at the schools. They also, at Pine Forge, they had a work program. Unfortunately, some didn't like to do the work that they had to do. When my uncle was there, he had, and a lot of people said, oh, you mean Mr. Charles was your uncle? I said, yep, he was my uncle, and he was a hard taskmaster. But he had those apple orchards going. And he had you go up there in the fall and you would see rows and rows of pumpkins, because he had a contract with Mrs. Smith Pies. And that's how some of the students were able to get their education paid. So he did, I mean, God had blessed him. Didn't bless me, but he blessed my family with these green, what do you call it? Like Ron has the green fingers, you know, that grows stuff. Yeah, and green thumb and Brother Johnson here. I ain't seen no tomatoes today. But anyway, it was really something how he could grow all that stuff and then contract it out to big companies and brought money into the school. So students are taught to be thinkers and they are taught to be of the facts of duty. All this so they can be missionaries. Now, some people think, well, I sent my child to school and they didn't become a missionary. But let's read about what how true education can make them missionaries. And that's in Education, the book Education, page 16 and 17. I'm going to read it from what I wrote down from that book. It says, true education is missionary training. Every son and daughter of God is called to be a missionary. Mm-hmm. We are called to the service of God, to help our fellow men know who God is, to fit us for the services should be the object of our education. Parents and teachers should keep in mind that all children should serve wherever God leads them. They don't have to go over to Australia. They might not even get to Africa, although some will. In fact, I know Oakwood, I'm not sure about other colleges, they have students that spend time in other countries for a season, for a while. But they also have a missionary plan, which is called NAPS. Who knows what NAPS is? Yes. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does NAPS mean? National Association for the Prevention of Starvation. They have their own school. It's amazing. They have no money, but they have their own school. And they teach, not us, but they go into the community. They have this school that the community children can come to, especially those who are very poor. And they feed them, and they give them a true education. Now, I'm gonna put this hint in for them, or this plug in for them, because they send me things for them, because that's one of the missions I support. When that storm came, tore the school down. You know how angry. It wouldn't have bothered if it was a regular false school, but Satan meant for that school to be down. But guess what? It's going up. People are supporting it. The community is supporting it. They're not even having this, but they know that that's a good education. So, yeah, our schools start these types of things, and they send people overseas to help there. But it also can be right in the home. The students may spend their lives within the home being a missionary. Do you know being a mother and a father is a missionary? That's a mission work. A mission work that's 24/7. Yeah. It also can be in the place where you work, wherever your vocation is. So these children don't have to be go over any place right in their workplace, whether they're a teacher or a secretary or a supervisor, whatever. And the teachers, but all of these jobs are alike called to be missionaries for God, ministers of mercy to the world. Today, we are looking for these types of students. Annette, I want to conclude with going back to Proverbs. Sorry. Going back to, not Proverbs, Psalms 1. So, in a true education, you will find that that the students are taught not to walk in the counsels of the ungodly. They're taught not to stand in the place where they're sinners, or not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Can anybody think of what that means? Sit in the seat of the scornful? Right, those who disregard God and the things of God, they're taught, you know, don't stay around that. Leave, because you know better. Be a thinker. I have a something that my daughter gave me. I had one, I couldn't find it, but she came downstairs last night and gave it to me. God says, higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, godlikeness is the goal to be reached. Before me, they are saying it, the children, we had them say this. Before me, there is open a path of continual progress. I have an object to achieve, a standard to attain. That includes everything good, pure, and noble. Can I read the rest of it? Yeah. I am created in the image of God, and I am endowed with power akin to that of the Creator. How about that? Can he give you that power? Yes, he can. Individuality, power to think and to do. I will develop my powers to think and not be a mere reflector of other men's thoughts. This is what we had to teach the children. They learned this. Some of them could come to you today and say that first couple anyway. But it goes on. I must face the practical realities of life, its opportunities, its responsibilities, its defeats and its successes. How I meet these experiences, whether I become master or a victim of circumstances, depends largely upon my preparation to cope, my education. How about that? Depends on their education, how they're able to cope. Now, like I said, some people might not have been able to do that, but they learned it in the home. How to cope with those things that's not easy to cope with. I must face the practical realities of life. I just read that, didn't I? It's responsibilities and its defeats and its successes. And then the next part is, I will use my time wisely. I will learn something new today and I will be successful today. I will have no other gods before me. I will not make unto me, any graven images, nor bow down myself to them. What does that sound like? The Ten Commandments, there it is. I will not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and I will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Doesn't leave them. Sometimes my nephew, who's not a practicing Seventh-day Adventist, he'll let you know. He's on Sabbath, I go out in nature And we took a nature walk. I said, I know. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord is still speaking to him. I will not take the name of the Lord, my God, in vain. I will honor my father and my mother. I will not kill. I will not commit adultery. I will not steal. I will not bear false witness against my neighbor. And I will not covet anything that is my neighbor. Most Seventh-day Adventist Christian schools learn this. It's called the creed. Some don't make them memorize it. There are only a few of our schools in Allegheny East that are still open. Isn't that sad? Many of them closed, and most of them that closed were in the city. I used to say, it's no excuse. There are a lot of people in the city who want Christian education. But for whatever reason, and I'm not going to speculate, they closed. Philadelphia, Newark, New Jersey, Trenton. But I know here in Maryland, G.E. Peters is still open. DuPont Park. I'm just talking about North Allegheny East schools. DuPont Park. And the little school I worked in Delaware, we call it, I can't think of the first name of it, but it was at the church in Delaware. Didn't have many students, only had three classrooms, and the grades went from kindergarten to eighth grade. It's still open because every day, and I believe mainly because every day we had worship as teachers, and we used the Bible books that we were told to use and not the fairy tale books. Even when we went to the library and got books, they were not fiction. They were books on nature or something like that. Okay, almost done. The rest of it says, the greatest one of the world is the one of men. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right, though the heavens fall. Amen. But such a character is not the result of accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. A noble character is the result of self-discipline, of the subject of the lower to the higher nature, the surrender of self for the service of love to God and man. Church school, Christian church school, serves as a barrier between widespread corruption, provides for mental and spiritual welfare, and promotes prosperity of the nation by furnishing it with men qualified to act in the fear and admonition.
Testing.
Yeah. Church school serves, my happiness for this life and for the future immortal life lies with me, meaning going to heaven when Jesus comes back again. I will not be content with dull thoughts or indolent mind or a loose memory. I will seek higher attainment. And I would tell my students, at the end of the class, we had another devotion. And that devotion included, I would always say, Jesus loves you. He died to save us. one day he's coming back again to take us home to live with him forever. Then I would say, I just can't. How many are really wishing and hoping and praying that Jesus will come soon, preparing our hearts and our minds for his soon coming? As Brother Green says, I can't remember, so maybe better. Lord, help me to be safe to save. Have anybody else over 75 come here preach? I got to think first. Anyway, Christ will be the center of my life, and I will be a servant of God and a friend to man. This is my time, my place, and my opportunity, and I accept the challenge to be all I can be. This is what we pray for and hope, that this is what our children, who we send to true education school, not the false one, because there are many Christian education schools, but if they do not go by commandments, all of them, not one missing, then it's not truly a true education. But if we send our children to a true education school and something happens, we can pray and say, Lord, this is what you told me to do. They're not doing X, Y, and Z, but you told me to send them there. Lord, you got to do something. Will he step in? Yes, he will. Will he save your child? Because he said, I will contend with him who contends with me, and I will save your children. Hallelujah. Do what we need to do for our children, for our grandchildren, for those children